Okay. By the way, honey, that was a great word. I was like hoping that you would preach today because I was like, that sounds so good talking about the grace. I'm like, maybe I need to. You hear that? Maybe I need to sit back. Yeah, she's not hearing that. Okay. La 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 la. All right, the title of our message this morning is Walk in the Light. Walk in the Light. Even if this is your first time to ever hear this phrase, walk in the light, you know that light is something positive, right? Light is something good. Light is something that you are drawn to. You're attracted to light because light is good. And even now, without the proper lighting that we have, guess what? It will be hard for me to communicate with you, hard for you to receive because you can't see me very well. There's shadows on my face. So there's so many other distractions going on. But light, when it comes in, it is good. It is attractive. It is needed. You need light in your life. A couple of weeks ago, and when we were in Tulsa, I heard that you guys had power outages here on the island, right? In the middle of the night, and the light goes off, and you in the middle of cooking dinner or sitting down at the dinner table and eating, and the light goes off. Guess what? You need light. You need light to operate. You need light to function. So light is a good thing. By default, we know that. But to walk in the light is a common Christian metaphor that we use. And we use that in terms of following Jesus, following the light that radiates from Christ himself in the way that we live our life. And not just so much of following the light, but also to recognize that we need to shine that light that is in us to others as well. And that light that is in us not only exposes the goodness of God, brings it to light, but it also exposes the darkness that is around us in the world that we live in. So light exposes darkness. And sometimes those shadows, those dark areas are even in our lives. If we want to be truthful, they're there. That's part of the sin that we're fallen into from the beginning of time. But light was there to expose those darkness that is even in us. Expose them to the light so that the light of Christ can remove them. Because when you shine a light in a dark area, it removes that darkness. So the light of God and walking is in his light has the ability to remove those shadows in our lives. So now, hopefully, when I read this, our opening scripture, it will kind of make sense to what the word of God is saying to us this morning. And this is Paul and John in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you." Him is Christ. And John is writing, "What I've heard, what Christ is about, and I'm declaring that to you as the body of believers, that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. If we say, as believers, we say that we fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth." See, this light has an ability to expose if we are lying. If we are saying that we know Christ, but yet again, our action, the way that we live our life does not display that light. He's saying here that we lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. I mean, that's pretty powerful. And this is an important part of the foundation of what we're going to talk about this morning. Why is light so important? Why is light so important? Light is a revelation of God, of who he is. God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Light is a revelation of his character, of who he is, as his character, his attributes. There is no darkness in him because he is truth. When we say we are a Christian and we walk in the light as he is in the light, there should never be any darkness in us. There should not be any shadow in us. The truth of the word of God, the truth of who he is, his light should radiate from us. The truth. It is a revelation of his truth. Light is a revelation of his fellowship with us. As we fellowship with him, we also fellowship with one another. His light is that this fellowship candle. That when we are fellowshipping with one another, we bring in that fellowship candle, which is Christ himself. See, when we're fellowshipping with one another, we might not agree on every single thing, right? We never do. We don't agree. We don't always agree on every single thing. But when we bring that candle of fellowship, which is Christ himself, we have something in common. So that's the fellowship that he's talking about here in this scripture. It's the fellowship when Christ is lifted up. So this morning, this is why we worship him. We are taking his light and we're bringing it up, like right here. So we have a light that is shining through our worship as we're studying the word. That's what we're doing. We're taking this light, which is the truth of the word of God, and we're bringing it up. High up, so that it illuminates everything that we do as we worship, as we study the word of God. Light is also a revelation of his cleansing power. As we walk in his light, he cleanses us from all sin. Right? That's what we're talking about in theology. We talk about this in terms of sanctification. It's a process. It's an ongoing thing. It never stops. Because the walk is a constant walk. It's a daily walk when we're walking with God. So as we are walking with in his light, guess what? This light that is shining from above in us is cleansing us from all unrighteousness. What is that doing? It's making us right with God. In right standing with him, because we are constantly under the light of God. So there is no guilt, there is no shame, there is no condemnation as long as you remain in that light. The moment you step aside and you allow the enemy to bring that circle of darkness around you, guess what? All of a sudden you feel like very small, guilty. A shame. But the moment you step into the light, all that guilt, all that shame, it disappears. You no longer have to hide because you are in the light of God. And that is a revelation of what we are learning about what it means to walk in his light. It's freedom. It's grace, unmerited grace. That we find when we step into the light of God. Light is also a revelation of his authority. Of his authority, of his ability to create something from nothing. His light is a revelation of what God can do in his power, in his majesty. opening up doors that you cannot open by yourself. But when you step into his light, all of a sudden you see doors of favor opening up for you. It's like you were in darkness. You're trying to feel your way around and you're feeling the doorknob. But all of a sudden the light of God shines. Guess what? You see the doorknob and you see your hand and you can let go. You can allow God to open that door for you without you trying to wiggle your way and trying to push it through. God is shining a light in places of our lives, in your life, that previously the enemy has been coming to bring that spirit of darkness around it. Now all of a sudden the light of God is shining forth, showing his authority in your life, his ability to create. And we find this in Genesis 1, when God said, "Let there be light." That's pretty amazing right there. That the songs that we had lined up for us this morning, they all said that same thing. Let there be light. That's power. That's authority that is found in Christ. Christ is describing himself as being part of what God is doing there. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light and saw that it was good. God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now, it's no coincidence that God started everything that he did during the creation with light. That's no coincidence that he started with, "Let there be light." That was his stamp of approval on his authority as God. He's demonstrating there that he has the power and the authority to create, to not just create something out of nothing, but to separate light from darkness. See, God was creating that separation between light and darkness. In Genesis 1, here God reveals himself. He reveals himself as, in theology we call, in Hebrew we call this Elohim, which is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when he said, "I am," that's basically what God is saying. "I am" means "I am Elohim," the triune God that exists all in one. "I am the great I am." That's pretty powerful when you actually study the word and you understand what the impact of that word that it had on humanity, on creation itself. "I am." That's the same "I am" that we find in Moses. When he showed up and he said, "I am that I am. I am the Elohim." And there's many other translations to that. But Jesus made that connection to Elohim from the Old Testament in Genesis way forward now in the New Testament in John chapter 8. He revealed himself as Elohim, but he also revealed himself as the light of the world. That's a powerful statement. A lot of time we read over this statement. We read over this powerful scripture when Jesus said, he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I want you to slow down when you read this, because this is a powerful thing that he said. And in fact, if you want to study this and you want to put this in context, the context was Jesus was in Jerusalem. He's celebrating with the other Jewish people a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, they're celebrating light. This thing is beeping. Should we fix that? Is it tracking me? Oh, it is tracking me. Is that real? I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, it's me. It's me. Maybe I'm moving around way too much. Now, Jesus is in the temple, and he's celebrating with the other Jewish people the festival of light. They're celebrating the light that we read, we just now read in Genesis 1 from creation, but they're also celebrating the light that led them out of the wilderness for 40 years. So they do this celebration once a year, and they do this over a period of 9 full days. And they would put on this gigantic candelabras. They are like 75 feet tall. Pretty tall. We're talking about like 5 stories high. And they would put these massive candles on top of those candelabras, and they would light up the whole place. For 9 days they would do that. So this statement that we read, and sometimes we just brush over this statement, I'm the light of the world, and usually we do this during Christmas time, and we forget the impact of what the background of this scripture. So it was a stage that Christ waited for. How many of you would agree that sometimes God will set the stage to release something in your life? And here, he's setting up the stage to reveal something powerful. It was like a nuclear bomb. It was like a nuclear bomb that he dropped on us as we are studying the word, but definitely a nuclear bomb for the Pharisees that were listening. Because this is the first time they're seeing this man, a carpenter's son, who's standing there and he's actually saying, I am Elohim. I am the same God that was there from creation, and I'm also the same God that was there for the 40 years that you were in the wilderness. They were like, are you kidding me? How could this be? Jesus was saying, I am not just a light, but I am the light. Not just over Jerusalem, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now, this is crazy powerful. Jesus is saying, I'm the light when there was creation, and I'm the light that led you out of the wilderness, and I'm the light of your world today. And maybe today this is a revelation for some of you, where you've been in darkness, in a wilderness, but Christ is saying, I am the light that will lead you out of this wilderness season that you're in. I am the light that will show you the way out of whatever situation that you might be in. I am the light that's going to reconcile you back in fellowship with the true God. What a revelation. What a powerful revelation when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Have the light of life. What does that mean to have the light of life and to walk in his light for you and me? Maybe you might need to reset this thing. Are we good? Nope. Oh, yeah, we are. Lord Jesus, help us with technology. What does that mean for you and me? Number one is this. No more Russian roulette with darkness. No more Russian roulette with darkness. Walking in life without Jesus, it's like playing Russian roulette. It's like you're playing Russian roulette with darkness. It's like without his light, we are wandering through a system of trial and error. Oh, let's try this there. Let's be touchy-feely. If it feels good, if it sounds good, it must be good. I mean, how foolish would that be? If we walk through life, this touchy-feely type of approach, trial and error, and say, you know, let me try this out. If it doesn't work, maybe it wasn't God. Or if it feels good, maybe it's God. Or if it doesn't feel good, maybe it wasn't God. How foolish would that be? Where we don't fully know that this is where God has placed you. Even if it feels uncomfortable, it might still be God. Because God will place us in a position sometime where we are not going to be comfortable. How many would agree with that? You've been in places in your life where you're like, you know what, this doesn't feel very comfortable, Lord. But because I have the light in me, I know that I'm in the right place. I know that I'm doing the right thing. Because I have the light of God in me. Now that's freeing for a lot of us. Because we put that pressure on us to be a performer for others to see. But God is saying, you don't need to do any of that. You just need to trust in me and walk in my light and do not play Russian roulette with darkness. How about this woke idea? You do you, I do me, and it's all good. No absolute. How foolish is that? If we had this mindset that, oh, you know, you can do whatever you want, and I'm going to be here, I'm going to do whatever I want, but at the end of the day, it's all going to be good. It's not going to be good at the end of the day. That's a woke idea that is really bad. And this is what we teach our society today. This is what we live on. You do you, I do me, and, you know, no absolute at all. Nothing good happens in darkness. Nothing good happens in darkness. When we were in Tulsa, it's like God gave us so many moments where we could, what I call teachable moments. You know, me and Isaiah, we're driving down. We were coming from a movie, I think, that night. And we're driving down, and there was a teachable moment there. And I'm like, I'm not going to miss that teachable moment. And late night, we're driving down and having a conversation. And while listening to Bob Marley, okay? We're listening to One Love. We're driving down, and Isaiah was like, Dad, there are so many creeps on the street at night, and we're in the city, okay? This is not Kodiak. Maybe we're driving down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a little bit of a bigger city. So bigger than Kodiak for sure. So we're driving down, and he's like, hey, there's so many creeps late at night. And I'm like, son, nothing good happens on the street this late. That's why ORU, where he's going, has a curfew. Keeping mom happy, because mom's got to be happy, and keeping mom happy and keeping the creeps away from mom. I mean, that's important. That is important. Here's the lesson. Do not have fellowship with darkness. That is really it. You don't have to have fellowship with darkness to know that it is real. It is real. There is a dark world out there. You don't need to explore to find out that there is darkness out there. It's there. You know it. You don't need to dabble in it. Stay away from anything that lurks in the dark. And I'm not talking about the boogeyman here, okay? Stay away from anything that lurks in the dark, and I'm not talking about boogeyman. I'm talking about simple stuff. I'm talking about lies. I'm talking about gossips. I'm talking about strife. Things that are so subtle that we tend to ignore it. But if you make a decision, a choice to stay away from those dark areas, these are shadowy areas, but even as believers, we tend to gravitate towards them. You know, like, oh, somebody's talking bad about somebody. Ooh, What did they say? Stay away from such conversations. That's a trap of the enemy. You know, what happened? Oh, no. We need to pray. You're not praying for that person. How many of you pray for that person? Probably not a whole lot of you. But you start engaging in this gossip area where the enemy lurks. And before you know it, you're in darkness. The light of God is the light of truth. If you need to speak the truth, you speak it. You speak it in the light. You don't need to go high to speak the truth. You can speak the truth openly. And openly in John chapter 8, that's exactly what Jesus did. He waited for a moment where there's going to be thousands of people out there for this festival called the Feast of Tabernacles. And he dropped the bomb. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of God shining in them. That's where God wants you and I to be, in his light, where we can know him, we can walk with him, we can experience his love. So we don't have to play Russian roulette with darkness to know that there is a dark world out there. So how do we deal with it? How do we deal with the darkness? We apply the word of God. We apply the word of God that has the ability to divide absolutes. See, only the word of God can define what is right and wrong. Only the word of God can define that this thing is the right thing to do and this thing is the wrong thing to do. Only the word of God can divide that. We can't in our own humanity do it. Philosophy of the world cannot do this. Only the word of God has the power and the authority to be able to divide right and wrong. Only the word of God has the ability and the power to define the boundaries between light and darkness, between life and death. Only the word of God. So if you're in a place where you're actually struggling in finding out what is the right thing to do, you apply the word of God. And you wait for the answer. You don't just like, I'll read a scripture and you know what? Bam, it's going to be done. That's not magic. It's time, it's patience, it's faith, it's hope. It's all of this coming together, bringing the light of God to shine in the darkest places, to shine in the places where we are even confused about what God wants to do. What is the next step? What is the next move? But when you apply the word of God in those situations, guess what? Clarity comes. Wisdom comes. Peace comes. So you trust in that process as you apply the word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God, and I'm talking about the light of his word, for the word of God is alive. See, you want something tangible, something that is living in your life? Apply the word of God. Know the word of God for yourself. Read the word of God. This is not the only place once a week where we open up the word of God and we read the scripture. Read it for yourself. Grow for yourself. Be able to apply that in your own personal life. That's where it really matters. That's where it really makes sense. Is when you are praying for your kids, praying for your family, praying for your church, praying for your pastor. You read the word and say, I got a word. I got a word. This is the word of God. And I know it. And I'm going to take that word and I'm going to apply it in my life, in my situation. The word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. You can call it a lightsaber. If you're a Star Wars person, probably a lightsaber would be just fine. Okay? It's the light of God's word, able to cut between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. This lightsaber, his word, exposes good from evil. exposes light from darkness. You want to hear something? To pick up that lightsaber, it's something that you and I, we must do daily. It's not something that we do on a Sunday morning when we come up here and then, whoa, I'm going to bring my lightsaber to church today. But you need that lightsaber on Monday morning, on Tuesday morning. When stuff is happening in your life, kids are going crazy on this side and your boss is on your case all the time. And stuff is happening. It's called life. Life doesn't wait for Sunday morning. You need that lightsaber with you every single day of your life. It's a daily task to pick up this lightsaber, which is the Word of God. Because that lightsaber has the ability to produce life or let you go, and you yourself and the enemy produce death in your life. How many of you would choose life? I'm choosing life right now. I'm choosing life that comes from this word that is alive, that is powerful, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, that is able to say, you know what? This thought that you have is not a good thought. If the word of God is not does not give me that ability to separate what is good and bad, that defines this absolute in my life, I'll be in darkness. I wouldn't know what to do. I'm in the same boat as you are when you're trying to find out, Lord, what do you want me to do in this case? I ask the same question, Lord, what do you want me to do? So what I do is I go back to this in Hebrews 4:12, for your word is a light to me. That's the word of God. It's the light of his word. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm going to pick it up. And I'm going to be able to define if this thought that I'm having, is that a good thought or a bad thought? The Word of God can do it for me. It's like I'm applying that in my life and I'm able to decide, okay, you know what? I'm going to choose life and I'm not going to choose death in this situation. See, Deuteronomy says it the best. Okay, 30 verse 15, it says, now listen. Has God ever done that to you? Now listen. Now you listen. You know, maybe you've been trying to do it your own way, and God is saying, now you listen. I mean, this is the time when we say, oh, yes, Lord, I listen. Okay? Now listen. Today, I am giving you a choice between life and death. See, it's a choice. To pick up that sword daily is a choice. And in verse 19, he says, therefore choose life. Because if you read the verses in between, it says, this is if you choose life, this is what's going to happen. And if you choose death, this is what's going to happen. And then at the end, it's like God is like, you know what, buddy? Choose life. Huh? Choose life. That is what God wants us to do today, is to choose life. Daily. Every day is today. I want you to remember that every day is today. Today you make a choice to pick up that sword, to apply that sword, the word of God, in your life. Number two is, his light will light your way. His light will light your way. See, sometimes we forget that the Word of God, that God and His Word are one. God and His Word, they are one. We have this flawed expectation that light somehow will show up in our life in the form of a burning bush. We have that expectation that somehow God's going to show up and it's going to be a burning bush and then we're going to see the light. And we neglect the light that is found in the written word of God. We are looking for that burning bush experience and we are neglecting that it is right here. It is right here. It is in His word. Listen to how David said it in Psalm 119. He says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Then David takes it a little bit further. He says, "I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I will obey your word. I will listen to your commandment. I will listen to what you say, and I will obey it." It's a daily act of obedience that leads to a daily promise. A daily act of obedience that leads to His daily provision. A daily act of obedience that leads to its daily peace, its daily wisdom. It's daily. It's something that we need to apply in our life on a daily basis. It's a daily act of obedience when we don't understand. It's called faith. When we don't fully understand what God is doing, but daily I'm obeying Him. It's called faith. It's a daily act of obedience when we don't see the full picture. It's called faith. We are not meant to see the full picture. And I know you. And I know myself. I want to see the full picture from day one. I'm thinking it's not going to overwhelm me at all. I'm able to handle it. I tell God, you know, I can do it, Lord. Just show me. And He's saying, no. I'm only showing you what you need to know. Because if I show you anything more, you will mess it up. See, God is doing this for our own protection. He wants to make sure that we are not going to stumble and try to get ahead of ourselves. How many of you struggle with that? I want to run. I mean, come on, Lord. Look, I've been saved for 20 years. I've read the Bibles for 50 times. I mean, you know, I'm an elder in my church. You know, I sit in the front row right here. You know, I've been around the block a few times. I mean, we talk to God like that. We think we have arrived. Lord, give us the full picture. And God is saying, no. I'm protecting you. My word is a lamp to guide your feet and a lamp that would light your path. Have you ever tried in pitch darkness, like it's totally dark, to grab a little lantern like this, which power surge and did not charge up, so I apologize, but you can see the meaning of this. Have you ever tried to run in pitch darkness with a lantern? It's hard. It's hard without falling. You know why? Because this lantern, it's only shining right here. Not anywhere further out. It's just right here. So in order to follow and to stay upright and not falling down and, you know, hurting yourself, you have to take one step at a time. The temptation is to run with it. But here the word of God is saying, slow down. Slow down. Let my light be a guide for your feet and a light for your path. When you follow the light of His word, it's always one step at a time. Always one step at a time. And God is doing that not to hold you back, because sometimes we think that, God, I feel like I'm being held back. I deserve this promotion, Lord. I've worked hard. I've done this. I've done that. And God is telling you, no, slow down. I know what I'm doing. I'm protecting you from something you do not see. Trust me. Have faith in me. I've been around the block more than you. I know the beginning from the end. Because the end, I've been there in your life, and I know what it looks like. And I'm protecting you from something you cannot see today. Just trust me today in the light that is shining right in front of your feet. Don't run. Walk. Trust me. When we were at ORU last week, I told you there's so many stories of what God did during the time that we were there. It's incredible what the amount of feeling the presence of God was probably the most important thing to me, being there back on the campus of ORU. Because that was the place where my Jeremiah 1:5 met my Jeremiah 29:11. Look up the scriptures. That's the place where it made sense to me in 1999. So going back to that same place, it's like God was reminding me that there is a purpose. That He created me, Jeremiah 1:5, while I was still in my mother's womb. And He gave me purpose from that day on. I just didn't know it until I met Jeremiah 29:11. Then it went like this. I knew that I was born for a purpose. There was a reason why God brought me here. There was a reason why I was born. And I'm saying that to the same guy over there, Isaiah, when we were on campus. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why God brought us here. And I want you to experience His presence in your life. Not as a default because of mom and dad. But I want you to experience God for yourself. And I hope someday he'll have a little bit more courage to be able to speak and tell you what God did. The doors that God opened up. How God met him. We were there in this meet and greet, and we are in the School of Business. He's going to do a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration and Computer Science. So we're meeting with all the dean. The dean is the one that was my teacher. Taught me, and I was going to be teaching my kid. And I'm sitting there, and we're sitting there and talking. And this professor came up, and he said, you know, I understand that you as parent and students, You don't have all the answers because you don't even know how that's going to work out for you. You don't even know what major to pick. You don't even know how you're going to pay for the school. But here you are. You are here on purpose because God brought you here. It connected immediately. It connected immediately for what God was already speaking to me, that I'm here on purpose. There was a plan that started way before while I was still in my mother's womb, but there on that campus, it all made sense. And he said, you don't have all the answers, and it's okay. You know, it's kind of like, okay, it's going to be okay. All right. Somebody said it's going to be okay. I agree with that. He said, it's going to be okay. You don't know all the answers, but it will come. What a powerful statement. Because you don't know all the answers either. But God is saying it will come. And he read this scripture, which I've read a few times before. It's not something that I'm drawn to so much. But when he read that scripture, he put it out on the screen, it made sense. It's like that word became alive all of a sudden. And I'm going to share it with you, Proverbs 4:18. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. And this is what this professor said, which I've written it down in my own words. As you walk in the light, more light will come. I want that to sink in. You might not know all the answers to your problems or what you need to do, but as you walk in his light today, right here, right now, more light will come until you reach that day where it's like a sun that is shining ever so brightly, making it a perfect day. That's where your Jeremiah 1:5 meets the Jeremiah 29:11. And you start seeing things making sense in your life as you walk in his light. More light will come. And number three is reflect his light. See, Jesus, he revealed himself as the light of the world. And we are okay with that, right? And we spent the past 30 minutes talking about how Jesus is the light of the world. That Elohim from the beginning of time in Genesis 1. And also that the same God who led the children of Israel out of this bondage. For those 40 years that they were in bondage and in the wilderness, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to move out of this situation. God himself became that light. Now, we appreciate that. We understand that. And we can receive that. That he is the light of the world. But then he, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus flipped the switch onto you and me. He said, yes, I am the light of the world. But now, you are the light of the world. How crazy is that? I thought it was Jesus. Yes, he is. He is the light of the world. But now he's saying, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light up a lamp and put it under a basket or on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Then he said, let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. See, Jesus did not die for you so that you can enter witness protection and hide. Can I get a witness? We are not meant to go and hide that light. We are not meant to be a closet Christian that nobody knows that we have the light, because we've taken that light and we've put it under a basket. The word, the challenge for us is to take that light from under the basket and to set it on high. To be an example of Christ, His light, like a city that sits on a hill, that everyone can see the light of Christ that shines through us. Not because we are opening up a word of God and we're walking down the street and we've got a Bible in our hand. We shine the light of Christ by the way we conduct ourselves in life, in the workplace. How kind we are to people. When we are at the grocery store and the lady is taking a little bit longer than normal. And we say, it's okay, no big deal. It's all right. It's not a big deal. When we show kindness, when we show forgiveness, we show grace and mercy, especially to those who don't deserve it. You're like, oh, you know what, man, they've hurt me so much. But when you show grace, when you show mercy, when you show forgiveness, it's like you taking this light and bring it high up, so that everyone can see the goodness of God. And guess what it points to? To the Father. He's the one who gets the glory for shining a light for Christ. Would you please stand? I can see the light of Christ shining forth from all of you. It's like I wish I could take a picture of what I see now. I wish I could just catch a glimpse or let you see a glimpse of the glory that is radiating from you guys. I see each and every one as a city that sits on a hill, shining a light for a Savior. For you yourself, because you've experienced the saving grace of God. But you're shining the light for the whole world to know that there is a God who died for this world that sits in darkness. Would you make a decision today, this morning, to say, you know what, I want to be that light. I want to be that light. I'm going to stand with God, and I'm going to stand for God in the darkest places. I'm going to be an ambassador for Him wherever I go. I can see that right here in this place. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you can be that example for Christ. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word today. Thank You, Lord God, that we've made the decision to walk in this light because You are the light. Let Your light shine forth from us, leading us, guiding us. Be an example for us to the entire world. In Jesus' name, amen.